ശ്രീഗണേശായ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീ സരസ്വത്യൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീ ഗുരുഭ്യോ നമഃ. ഹലോ ലിസണേഴ്സ്, ദിസ് ഈസ് രവി രംഗനാഥൻ വെൽക്കമിംഗ് യു ടു ദ 69th എപ്പിസോഡ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത യഹ പശ്യതി സ പശ്യതി. ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് എപ്പിസോഡ് ഭഗവാൻ ഷോഡ് ദ പ്രസൻസ് ഇൻ ദ സൺ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദ മൂൺ, ഇൻ എർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ഹെർബ്സ് ആൻഡ് പ്ലാന്റ്സ്. ഹീസ് ഇൻ ദ ഫുഡ് വി ടേക്ക്. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഹീ ഡു ഇൻസൈഡ് അസ്? അഹം വൈശ്വാനരോ ഭൂത്വാ പ്രാണിനാം ദേഹമാശ്രിതഃ പ്രാണാപാനസമായുക്തഃ പചാമന്നം ചതുർവിധം. നാം വൈശ്വാനരൻ ആകി ഉയിരുകളുടെ ഉടലിൽ തങ്ങി പ്രാണ അപാണാവിൽ ചേർന്ന് ജീർണിത്ത് ഉണവ് നാലു വകൈ. ഐ ബിക്കം ദ ഡൈജസ്റ്റീവ് ഫയർ ആൻഡ് അബൈഡ് ഇൻ ദ ബോഡി ഓഫ് ബീയിങ്സ് അസോസിയേറ്റഡ് വിത്ത് പ്രാണ ആൻഡ് അപാണ എനർജീസ്. ഐ ഡൈജസ്റ്റ് ദ ഫോർ ഫോൾഡ് ഫുഡ്. ബീയിങ്സ് ഇൻക്ലൂഡ് എനിത്തിങ് ദറ്റ് ഈറ്റ്സ് ആൻഡ് നോട്ട് ജസ്റ്റ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ബീയിങ്സ്. ഇൻ തമിൽ cooked rice is annam. Here annam refers to any food we eat. Even the cooked food has to be digested and assimilated into the body. Pachami annam chaturvidham. I digest four kinds of food. If we go to a restaurant, we are given a 10 page menu. Why is Bhagavan saying that he is digesting only four kinds of food? Food is divided based on the three gunas or based on how it is consumed. Chapter 17 will cover food based on gunas. Here the four types of food mentioned are based on how they are consumed. First is solid food, which we bite with our teeth and chew it. Second is food we drink and swallow, like water, juice, buttermilk, sodas. Third is without using the teeth, sucking the food. Example, suck the mango juice out of a juicy mango fruit. Sucking liquid through a straw is included in this list. Fourth is licking. Example, licking honey or ice cream. These four types of food are called Baksham, Peyam, Bhojyam and Lehyam. In Ayurveda, a medicine is called Lehyam because the medicinal powder is mixed with honey. Please note that sending liquid through intravenous is not consuming food in the traditional sense. What is talked about is the normal way of consuming food. The fire in the stomach that helps to digest these four types of food is called Vaishvanara. Pranina means all those who have prana, who is breathing in and out. The air that is circulating within the body is Pranavayu. The Vaishvanara fire, using the help of prana and apana, digests the food. There are five types of air that govern our body. Pranavayu, it governs breathing, forward momentum and regulates body temperature and makes us feel light. It moves between nostrils and heart. Its region is chest. 2. Apanavayu, this governs pushing out, elimination, downward and outward force. The energy that moves down to eliminate stool, urine, fetus, etc. It moves from navel to feet down. When not regulated, one feels lazy, dull and feels heavy. Its region is the pelvic area. 3. Vyana Vayu. This governs circulation at all levels, the whole body. It controls the flow of energy from the center of the body to the periphery. This distributes the digested energy. This comes to be used when one performs actions of force like pulling a rope, pushing a box, etc. 4. Udana Vayu. This governs growth, speech, expression. It moves upward. Its region is from throat to head. It controls the ability to stand stable, speak, think, etc. This vital force expels Jivatma from the body and leaves the body upon death. A part of this energy helps to decompose the body after death. 5. Samana Vayu. This energy is used for digestion and inner absorption. It nourishes the whole body. The energy that helps to balance the incoming and outgoing energies is Samana. Its region is navel to heart. Recall, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani. From food comes forth beings. Bhavan as Prakriti is earth, from where food comes from. He is the sun and moon rays helping food to grow. He is the energy, the nourishment in our food. He himself is eating the food and digesting it. He is the witness who is watching all this. We should respect that food. Therefore, this chapter is chanted before eating. Where else does he reside other than in the stomach? What else Bhagavan is doing within us? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha mattasmritir jnanam apohanam cha vedeshcha sarvairahameva vedyaham vedanta krit veda videva chaham. நான் எல்லார் இதயத்தில் அமர்ந்து என்னிடமிருந்து நினைவு அறிவு இல்லாமையும் அனைத்து வேதங்களிலும் அறிய வேண்டியவன் நான். வேதாந்தமும் வேதமறிந்தவனும் நான். I am seated in the hearts of all. From me are memory and knowledge as well as their absence. I am certainly that which has to be known in all Vedas. I am indeed the author of the Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. This idea is so important that Bhagavan includes part of this verse in the summary of chapter 18. All along, stress was made to indicate that the Supreme Lord is all-pervading. It is not a surprise that the all-pervading Ishvara is located in the hearts of individual beings. Just a few verses ago, he said, "Those who strive, endued with yoga, perceive him dwelling in the self." The yogis could perceive him seated in their own heart because they were looking for him. Others are not looking for him. That is the only difference. It is like the story of a villager who was carrying a goat on his shoulders and searching for it everywhere. Bhagavan is not just in the hearts of a selected few. He is in all. We only have to look for him. After working hard to provide energy through the sun, moon, fire, earth, plants and herbs, and also digesting the food, Bhagavan is taking rest in the heart of beings. This is not the physical heart. It is thought to be located as an inverted lotus above the diaphragm. This heart represents the center of consciousness. Why is he in the heart of all beings? Bhagavan already gave the answer in chapter 10. Out of mere compassion for them, I dwell within their heart, destroying darkness born of ignorance by the luminous lamp of knowledge. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam. In addition to memory and knowledge, our forgetfulness and ignorance are also only because of Bhagavan. Come on, Bhagavan, are you playing a game with us? Am I wasting my time with you? All along you have been telling us to remove our ignorance, and now you are saying that you are causing ignorance in us? Not only that, you are saying that you are making us forgetful. Then how can we get this knowledge if you make us keep forgetting what we learn? Bhagavan's response is that it is important to have the power to forget. Without that, one may drown in sorrow forever. Knowledge is the right understanding of sense perceptions by intellect. Lack of knowledge is not only the absence of knowledge about an object, but it is also incorrect understanding about the object. There is ignorance as well as error. Incorrect knowledge includes speculative reasoning, erroneous hypotheses, conjectures, delusional knowledge, biased opinions, etc. Ignorance and all errors are in intellect only. All these are functioning in an individual only as long as the consciousness is residing in the heart. Only with his presence, memory, knowledge and their counterparts, namely forgetfulness and ignorance, exist. Bhagavan said that anyone who remembers Om at the time of death reaches him. At a very deep level, loss of memory is not remembering Om at the time of death. At the individual level, we continue to take new births due to our karmas, but we do not remember our past lives. Imagine if we remember what all happened in our past lives. There will be nothing but chaos and confusion in our lives. Thanks to Bhagavan, who made us forget all our past lives, there is some semblance of order in our lives. At the cosmic level, at the end of a creation cycle, everything goes into unmanifest, and at the beginning of the next creation cycle, the jivatmas restart their journey. It is the power of the Supreme that remembers about the karmas of all jivatmas and helps them to continue their journey during the next creation cycle. During pralaya, there is no activity and no knowledge. he is not only the knower of the Vedas, but he is the subject matter of all Vedas, including Vedanta. In episode 49, as part of chapter 10, we saw this under the ninth category of glories of God. Vedanta means the end, the last part of Vedas. This refers to Upanishads, most of which are located at the end of each of the four Vedas. A better meaning for Vedanta is, it is the end knowledge, the ultimate supreme knowledge. There is no knowledge beyond it. The battlefield context is, Arjuna, you are arguing for the performance of the Vedic rituals mentioned in the Vedas. You were worried that the society will stop performing all the five rituals as mentioned in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas and will disintegrate. I not only know the Vedas, I am the author as well as the subject matter of Vedanta. Understand that what you need to know in Vedas is me and not the rituals performed for selfish reasons. So, without worrying about it, get up and fight this war. Next, we move to segment 5, covering verses 16 through 18, where the nature of absolute reality is explained. These verses provide the best support for Visishtadvaita interpretations. Dvami mau purushav loke sharas chakshara evacham sharas sarvani bhutani kutastho shara uchate. Ulagil iru purushargal undu, அழிவதும் அழியாததும். அழிவது எல்லா உயிரினமும், மாறாதது அழியாதது என்பர். Two kinds of persons are there in this world, the perishable and the unperishable. All beings are perishable and the unchangeable is called the imperishable. Arjuna, please listen to this with full attention. There are two Purushas in this world. What? Bhagavan, why are you throwing a curveball? All along you have taught us that there is a Purusha and a Prakriti, where Purusha is consciousness and Prakriti is the material world. When it was beginning to make some sense, why are you shifting the goalpost? This is very typical of Bhagavad Gita. The earlier teaching about Purusha is getting an upgrade. Now, there is a change in the way the Purusha is looked at. As explained in chapter 13, appreciation episode, Sankhya philosophy stops at the level of Purusha and Prakriti. They are independent and there is no other higher authority over these two entities, and every individual is a different Purusha. The three verses starting from the current verse differentiates Bhagavad Gita philosophy from Sankhya philosophy of Kapila Muni. The two Purushas are Shara Cha Akshara Eva, the perishable and the imperishable only. Shara are things that change, that perish. It includes all movable and immovable objects, all that is made up of the five elements, all thoughts, everything that has names and forms. The health of the body changes, wealth accumulated changes, relationships change, leadership change, thoughts in the mind are constantly changing, the quality and functioning of objects change, a body with life changes to a lifeless body. Dead body changes to ashes and becomes one with the soil. The soil becomes food to sustain another life form. These changes keep on going. In chapter 13, it was called Shara Prakriti. But who is Shara Purusha? Shara Sarvani Bhutani, all perishable beings including animals. But focus here is on humans. It is the Jivatma that has identified itself with the perishable body and thoughts and the world of objects. The Jivatmas are stuck in the tree of samsara. They keep taking body after body. They perish and come back only to perish again and come back. This happens to everyone from Brahma down to the tiny blade of grass. They are Shara Purusha. This is the first category. The second Purusha is Kutastha Akshara. Kuta is the anvil of a blacksmith which remains stable and stationary while all the hot iron rods change shape on top of it. Kutastha is a metaphor used to explain the changeless background behind changing things. The person who does not change is Akshara Purusha, the unmanifest imperishable. This is the constant backdrop screen on which all changes happen. Kuta has other meanings including false, illusion, deception, trick, projection and heap. Taking the meaning of illusion, Kutastha means that which manifests itself in diverse forms, creating an illusion. Maya Sakti, or the illusory power of Ishvara, is the seed from which the perishable tree of samsara takes its birth, and this illusory unperishable power is Akshara Purusha. It is the unmanifest state. In Visishtadvaita, Sharapurusha refers to living entities who are in contact with the material world and struggling in this world. They are jivatmas bound by material nature. They have the changing material body, mind and senses. And Akshara Purusha refers to the liberated jivatmas who are eternally with the Supreme Lord and not bound by the material nature. Advaita says Shara is the world of objects, including living beings, and Akshara is the unchanging pure consciousness, Atma. The jivatma is constantly moving from body to body and the Atma is not. In the language of the tree metaphor, Shara Purusha is the perishable tree of samsara and Akshara Purusha is the imperishable seed of the tree of samsara. For example, there is a moving train or a moving vehicle because the surrounding area remains constant. If your town is also moving along with your vehicle, then there is no change of place. We see the changes in the movie because of the changeless background on which it is projected. The constant unmoving background is Akshara Purusha, and beings that change on top of that is Shara Purusha. Next comes a twist. There is another Purusha other than these two Purushas. Who is that? Uttama Purushastvanyaha Paramatmeti Yudakritaha Yo Lokatrayam Avishyam Biparti Avyaya Ishvaraha. Anal, உயர்ந்த புருஷர் மற்றொருவர் பரமாத்மா என்று அழைப்பர். அவர் மூ உலகிலும் பரவி தாங்கும் அழியாத ஈஸ்வரன். பட் டிஸ்டிங்க் இஸ் த பெஸ்ட் புருஷா கால்டு த ஹையஸ்ட் செல், தி இன்டிஸ்ட்ரக்டபிள் லார்டு, ஹூ பர்வேட்ஸ் த த்ரீ வேர்ல்ட்ஸ் அண்டு சஸ்டைன்ஸ் த. பவான் இஸ் ஆடிங் சம்திங் மோர் டு த புருஷா அண்ட் பிரகிருதி ஆஃப் சாங்கிய தர்ஷன். He is integrating the top two things into one different and higher Purusha called Uttama Purusha. Dvaitama Purusha and Prakriti is getting integrated into Advaitam of Uttama Purusha. This is the pinnacle. There is nothing higher than this best Purusha, the best person in the entire universe. In addition to the two Purushas mentioned in the previous verse, there is yet another higher Purusha. In these verses, three aspects of the divine are explained. This third Purusha is called Uttama Purusha, the best, the supreme Purusha. Uttamam is a superlative degree. There must be at least three entities to compare and declare one as the best. Between jivatmas who are stuck in samsara, liberated jivatmas and Paramatma, Paramatma is the Uttama Purusha, the best person. This Uttama Purusha is Avyaya Ishwaraha, the indestructible Lord. The Paramatma is called the indestructible Lord, and the indestructible Ishwara is Ya Avishya Lokatrayam Viparti, supports the three worlds by pervading them. Let me break it down. Ishwara is a Purusha, a life energy, Chit, consciousness. He is different from Achit, inert matter. We are talking about energy and matter. That is easy to understand. Next, Ishvara is different from Bandhatma. Bandhatma is a person who is bound in samsara by karma. This is the suffering Jivatma. This Jivatma takes birth again and again because of karma. This bound person is called Uddh Purusha. Among the three, this Purusha is the lowest. Ishvara is also different from Muktatma, a liberated person. In comparison to the bound person, this liberated person is a Uttara Purusha. And finally, Ishvara is different from Nidhyatma also. Nidhyatmas are those who reside in Vaikuntham permanently, like Lakshmi, Ananta, Garuda, etc. In comparison to all, Paramatma is Uttama Purusha. Another way of looking at this is, Adama Purusha is the world of beings, the Jivatmas. Madhyama Purusha is Brahman plus Maya, it is Ishvara. Uttama Purusha is Brahman, the pure consciousness. Why is he the best person? this higher Purusha is not affected by the perishable and the imperishable Purushas. In fact, this highest Purusha, who is pure, eternal, intelligent, is the best person who supports the perishable and unperishable Purushas. This third higher Purusha pervades all three worlds and sustains them. In Puranic terms, he is the imperishable and omniscient Lord Narayana, who permeates the three worlds by his vital energy and sustains them by staying in their hearts. What are the three worlds? In chapter 1, Arjuna said that even if the three worlds are awarded to him, he is not interested in the war. There are many ways of looking at this. Bhuloka, human world, Swargaloka or Brahmaloka, the above world, and Patala Loka or Naragaloka, the below world, or Bhuloka, the earth, Bhuvaloka, the mid region, and Swaloka, the heaven. Another explanation, the second explanation, is given as per Sanskrit grammar rules. In comparing things, there is good, better, and best. In grammar, this corresponds to the first person, second person, and third person. When we say Uttama Purusha, then there is a Madhyama Purusha and Pratama Purusha. Pratama Purusha, this is in third person grammar, indicating a very, very far off God. Madhyama Purusha is in second person grammar. This refers to saints and gurus in front of us with whom we can interact. And Uttama Purusha is in the first person. This refers to our true inner self. He is the innermost consciousness of all beings. He is the inner ruler. He is independent. He is the support of everything. Therefore, he is known as the Supreme Self in Vedanta. Pratama means first. We first see God as someone far off and finally realize it in our own inner self as Uttama Purusha. Third explanation is, Loka is that which is perceived. For an individual, there are three such perceivable worlds. They are called Stula, Sushma and Karana Prapancham, the gross, subtle and causal worlds. It is waking, dreaming and deep sleep states. Adama Purusha is one in waking and dreaming states. This is the world we experience. Madhyama Purusha is one who is in deep sleep state. On waking up, the experience of the deep sleep state is felt through a rejuvenated body. Uttama Purusha is pure consciousness, Atma. This state is called Durya, which sustains the waking, dreaming and deep sleep states. This Uttama Purusha is different and superior to waking, dreaming and deep sleep state Purushas. Though called fourth, it is the underlying thing for the other three states. There is no ignorance and no error in this state. The Purusha in the waking and dreaming state is Shara Purusha. Changes take place in these two states. Ignorance and error exist. The Purusha in the deep sleep state is Akshara Purusha. Here no change take place, but ignorance still exists. There is no error. The Uttama Purusha is the Durya state, which sustains waking, dreaming and deep sleep states. There is no ignorance or change at this level. There are many other ways of looking at the three worlds. There is the seer seeing and seen, the knower knowing and known, and the enjoyer enjoying and enjoyed. Continuing, Yasmat sharamadi toham aksharadapi chottamah atosmi loke vedecha pradidapurushottamah. Azhivadu thandiyum naan azhiyadadum vida mempattavan. அதனால் நான் உலகில் வேதத்தில் கூறினர் புருஷோத்தமன் என்று. I transcend the perishable and am even higher than the imperishable. Therefore, I am declared as the Purushottama in the world and in the Vedas. Just like that, nonchalantly, Bhagavan throws a spin, saying, I am beyond this perishable changing universe as well as the non-perishable Maya that does not change as it stays in dormant unmanifest form. Therefore, in all worlds and in Vedas, I am declared as Purushottama, the best person. Because I transcend the perishable Jivatma Purushas who are stuck in samsara as well as higher than the imperishable Purushas, the liberated self, I am referred to as Purushottama, the Supreme Person in the Shrutis and Smritis. Like the upside down Ashwatha tree that was talked about in the first two verses of this chapter, swap around the words Uttama and Purusha and you will get Purushottama. The Purushottama is beyond even the permanent residence of Vaikuntham. He is none other than Lord Narayana, for Purushottama is a well-known name of Lord Narayana. Since I am transcendental to the mutable, that is, I am beyond the tree of Maya, also known as the tree of Samsara, which this worldly existence is, and Uttamaha, the highest as compared with even the Akshara, immutable, which is the seed of the tree of Samsara. I am well known in the world and in the Vedas as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Devotees know me as such. I am beyond all limitations. We now move to the final segment 6, covering the last two verses. Yomam evamasam mudaha janati purushottamam sasarva vidbhajati mam sarva bhavena bharatam. எவர் என்னை இவ்வாறு மயங்காத அறிவர் புருஷோத்தமனாய், அவர் எல்லாம் அறிந்தவர், வணங்குவார் என்னைத்தான் முழுவதும் பாரத. அர்ஜுனா, எனிஒன் ஹூ இஸ் அன்டெலியூடட் தஸ் நோஸ் மீ த பெஸ்ட் புருஷா. நோயிங் ஆல், திஸ் பர்சன் வர்ஷிப்ஸ் மீ வித் தர் ஹோல் பீயிங். பகவான் இஸ் எக்ஸ்பிளைனிங் வை த ஞானிஸ் த வைஸ் வர்ஷிப் ஹிம். இன் திஸ் சாப்டர் ஃபார் த தேர்ட் டைம் we are seeing the usage of the word mooda. First we had amoodaha, wise people who have become free from ignorance. He or she is a pandita who understood aham brahmasmi. Second, it was the opposite of amoodaha. It was vimoodaha, an expert in ignorance. As Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, specialized in ignorance. Third, it is asammoodaha. Sammuda is an expert fool, and Asammuda is that there is absolutely no kind of foolishness in this person under any circumstance. That is, there is absolute clarity in this person. This wise person has no confusion between Para and Apara Prakriti, between Kshetra and Kshetrajna, between Sharapurusha, Aksharapurusha and Uttamapurusha, between Urdhvam, what is above, and Adaha, what is below. This undeluded person is able to see this Purushottama in the sun, in the moon, in the fire, in the herbs and plants, see him as the energy source, see him as the one who is digesting the food and staying in the heart of all beings. The undeluded see him as the source of all sources, see him as the source of the entire creation. This person of perfection who knows the Purushottama in all aspects knows there is nothing without and beyond this Supreme Purusha. Knows the Supreme Being is the causeless cause of all causes. Knows him as Ajaha, unborn, Nityaha, eternal, Shaswataha, unchanging. This undeluded person knows that the Supreme Being is the one that needs to be really worshipped, because he is the end goal of life and there is nothing higher than him. The wise person's thoughts and actions are in sync and devoted to the Supreme. There is total identification with the Supreme. Such a wise person is his true devotee, and such devotees fully identifies himself or herself with the Supreme Being. The person who has thus understood the Supreme in this way knows what is said in all Vedas, even though he or she may not have read them. Yaha pashyati sa Pashyati. Bhagavan, what does that wise person do after knowing the Supreme Purusha? The answer is in the next episode. Until that time, this is Ravi Ranganathan bidding goodbye. Bhagavad Gita. Yaha Pashyati sa Pashyati. Yaha Pashyati sa Pashyati. Yaha Pashyati sa Pashyati.